Good evening, everyone. Welcome to tonight's Tefillah Shir. Shir number 99. Tomorrow is Asar B'Teves, Toshin Samech Tes, January 5th, 2009. We are in our Tefillah Shir in part 3 of Birchas Avos. And although I was contemplating that tonight might be the last Shir on Birchas Avos and the first Bracha Shon Esrei, I can't say that tonight. There's just so many lessons to learn, and this tefillah, this first bracha, is so important that we mentioned that if a person doesn't have the proper kavana, he has to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei according to the letter of the law, which we don't do today. We're going to continue and pull out a very important lesson from tonight's shir from the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, in Yirtzeh Hashem. And it's a lesson that with it we can be successful in life, and without it, it's impossible to be successful in life. And the first thing we want to start with is that we don't want Shalom Aleichem. If you think you heard me incorrectly, I'll repeat myself. We're here tonight to make sure we do not get Shalom Aleichem. What is Shalom Aleichem? Shalom Aleichem is when someone greets you. We don't want Shalom Aleichem from the Ger Rebbe, like he gave the Chassid. What happened? The Ger Rebbe approaches one of his Chassidim, and he says to him, Shalom Aleichem. To which the Chassid is very perplexed. Why are you giving me Shalom Aleichem, Rebbe? So he said, because from the way I saw your davening, you are everywhere, all traveling the whole world. I want to welcome you back. We don't want Shalom Aleichem of such a sort. So we are here tonight to make sure that we can understand the depths on a basic level, what these words are teaching us, and we can incorporate it into our system, into our lives. We've already mentioned a few reasons as to why we begin the Birchas Avos, the whole Shemoneh Esrei, with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, with the mention of the Brach of the Avos. And we'll give another reason. And that reason is as follows. The Pikud der Rabbi Lezer tells us as follows. Says the Rabbi Lezer ben Harkonis, Masai tegiya masai lemasai avoisai Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. Man, chayav adam loy, man is obligated to ask himself, when will my actions reach the actions of Avraham, of Yitzchak and Yaakov? When a person wants to be successful in life, he has to realize that he should strive for the top. And we are told here in the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei that we are destined for greatness, because we have to ask ourselves, when can I reach the level of Avram, of Yitzchak, of Yaakov? When can I emulate their character traits? And because they emulated who? They emulated HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They emulated Hashem. Step number one, we have to realize we can't accomplish. We are destined for greatness. And with that mindset, we continue with the bracha, HaKel HaGodol HaGibur HaNoira. Hashem is mighty, He's Godol, He's the Almighty, He's Godol, He's awesome, He's Gibur, He's powerful, and He's Noira. He's great. The great, powerful, and awesome God. Where does this tefillah come from? Who said these words?
The men of the Great Assembly.
The men of the Great Assembly said these words after someone said it before them. Who said these words before them? None other than Moshe Rabbeinu. The pasuk says, in Parshas Ekev, in the parasha that discusses Yiras Shemayim, Moshe Rabbeinu tells us, "V'atva Yisrael, Ma Hashem Lakecha Shalom Imach." Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Beis. Moshe Rabbeinu asks Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu tells us, Hashem wants from you one thing. What does Hashem ask of you? Kiim LeYira, Kiim LeYira, Yishafir Hashem. Kim leyira as Hashem loykecha lalechas v'chol derachov go in all of his ways. V'la'avo Yisrael, and to love him. V'la'avo Yisrael Hashem l'akecha, to serve Hashem. V'chol levavcha, v'chol nashecha. With all your heart and all your soul. Continues Moshe Rabbeinu. Ki Hashem elokeichem hu elokei halokim. Hashem, your God, is the God of all gods. And Pasuk is Zayin, v'adoinei ha'adoinim. And the master of all masters. Listen to these words now because I'm sure they sound familiar. Hakel, hagodol, hagibor, v'hanoiro. He is the Kel, he is the God who is Godol, he is great, he is Gibor, he is strong, and he is Noir, he is awesome. These words are said by Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah. Obviously, whatever Moshe Rabbeinu said is because Hashem said it. So we see over here that the words that we relate to in understanding the attributes of Hashem are these words over here. The words of Godol, Gibor, and Noir. As Simcha said a few minutes ago, the Anshik Nesai Doyel said these words. I have a Gemara over here in Yuma, which I'd like to learn with you. A few lines of the Gemara. Because there is a lesson to be learned to incorporate into our everyday system. And that is one of the reasons why this tefillah encompasses this lesson. 3 times a day, we constantly put it into our memory bank to make sure that we should live with this lesson, this important lesson that we will get to shortly. Says the Gemara in Yuma, why are they called Anshik Nesag Doila? Why are they called the men of the Great Assembly? The Omar of Yeshua ben Levi, why are they called men of the Great Assembly? So says Yeshua ben Levi. Nikva Shimon Anshik Nesag Doila, they are called the men of the Great Assembly. Sheachziru Atorah L'Yoishna, because they returned the Atorah L'Yoishna, the crown, Atorah is a crown, L'Yoishna, to the way it was, the way it originally was. What does that mean? Because originally, as we just learned, Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Hakel Agod Lagibav Anoira." As the Gemara says, also Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Omar Hakel Hagod Lagibav Anoira." That's how we refer to Hashem. Also, Yirmiyah comes along generations later. The great Navi, the prophet Yirmiyah, who lived during the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, when Nebuchadnezzar came in and he plundered and destroyed the first Beis Hamikdash. And Yirmiyah said as follows, V'amar nochri mekarkirin b'hicholoi, Hayeinu roisof. The goyim are going around, ransacking, destroying your holy sanctuary. Hayeinu roisof. Said Yirmiyah Navi, where is your awesomeness now, Hashem? It's not visible. So when he davened, he removed it. He removed the word Noira from the tefillah. Because because it wasn't present. Hashem's presence wasn't visible. Continues the Gemara. Also Daniel says further, Nochri mishtabim bibonov. The nations of the world are mishtabim bibonov, are subjugating your children. Where is your gvura? Where is your power? Where is your strength, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Of course, we know Hashem always has it. But it's not visible. Once again, comes along Daniel and he doesn't say gvura. Lo yomar gibar. He doesn't say the word gibar in the tefillah. However, why are they called Anshik Nesag Doila? Says the Gemara, also in who came along the Anshik Nesag Doila, the men of the Great Assembly, who organized the Shemoneh Esrei, who organized the Tefillah, v'amru adaraba. No, that's incorrect, Yirmiyah. That's incorrect, Daniel. Zuhi gevurois gevurosoi. This is the strength of Hashem. What is the strength of Hashem? Shekoyvish es Yitzroi. that Hashem holds back His Yetzirah. Excuse me, Hashem holds back His strength, His power. Shekoyvish is Yitzray. Shenoisin Erech Apayim. Lirishoyim. Hashem gives time for the Rishoyim. He doesn't punish them right away. And that is the strength of Hashem, as the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us. Eizehu Gibor HaKoyvish is Yitzray. Who is a strong man? Who is Koyvish is Yitzray. He doesn't act on his impulses. He doesn't act with impatience. And that is the lesson tonight. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, where is the Gevura of Hashem? That He doesn't punish the Goyim right away. He will punish them when they, in the right time. And Hashem knows when that time is. But to see the Tzoris, and to hold back, when He has the power to punish, that is the Gevura of Hashem. And that is a lesson we are here to learn from. And which we'll elaborate on tonight. Continues the Gemara. The Elohei Noiroisov. This is the Noiroisov. This is the awesomeness of Hashem. She'el molei moiroi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because if not for the moira, the fear of Hashem, if not for Hashem, heich uma achas, how would it be possible for one small little nation? Heich uma achas yichud l'skayim bein ha'umois. How could one small little nation survive amongst all the nations? As is explained, it is likened to one little sheep surrounded by 70 wolves. And that one little sheep is us. How do we survive all these generations with all the persecutions, and yet we are still here today? And that is a chelek, a portion of the Chesed Hashem, which is not tonight's share, the Goymil Chasodim, the fact that we are still around, is a message that we appreciate the fact that this is the Gevura, the strength of Hashem. When did the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, when did they say, Daniel, Yirmiyah, you removed the words that refer to Hashem in a certain way, because you didn't see the Noira, you didn't see the awesomeness, you didn't see the Gvura, the strength, you didn't see it. When did the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah return and put these words back in? This was after the Nesapur. Explains of left that this is perhaps what they saw. This is perhaps what the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah saw. That even after everything, Hashem is still with us. Even though we don't always see His hand so openly. As you know, the Nes of Purim was a hidden Nes. Hashem's name is not openly mentioned in the Megillah at all. And I have to tell you, I saw recently a story that I was thinking of saving for Purim. However, on the other hand, we just mentioned something about Purim. So I'm going to say the story now. And the story dates back to the days of Stalin, Yimach Shemoy. The days of Stalin. Back in Russia, I don't remember exactly the year. It was a time when Stalin got very paranoid that the Jewish doctors are planning to kill him.
1951,
I think so as well. So what happened was, Stalin gathered together, not him personally, he had his henchmen do the dirty work, different Jewish doctors, hundreds of them, to take care of this paranoia. One such family received a knock on the door, a pounding knock on the door. A father, a mother, and little four-year-old Ilya, four-year-old boy. The pounding knock from the Russians. They answer the door. Without a chance for the father to say goodbye, their father is pulled out of the house. Their father brought the bread into the house, literally. He supported the family. Now without the father, they didn't know how they're going to support themselves. Even worse than the fact that they have no food, they have no friends either. Because it's a death sentence for anybody to associate with someone who was just taken away from the Russians. They lost their husband, they lost their father. They have no food, they have no family, they have no friends. A year and a half later, it's Purim time. Ilya says to his mother, "I'd like to make a shalach manos." And his mother is very excited that this little boy wants to make shalach manos to send to someone, but the problem is they don't know who they're going to send it to because they have no friends anymore. A different problem arises. They barely have any food in the house. Shalach manos, you send some food. They open the cabinets, they find a small little stale piece of bread. That's one item. Ilya tells his mother, "But we need two different foods. They don't have anything else." So the mother has an idea. She says, "Usually your father would want us to do mitzvahs, to serve Hashem, to fulfill His commandments in a very happy frame of mind. Tonight we're going to do things a little differently. We're going to take a cup. And we're going to sit down and think of your father. And we're going to fill up this cup with tears. You and I will think of your father. And we will fill up this cup with tears. And we will give the shalach manos to Hashem. With that stale piece of bread." And it didn't take long for that cup to be filled up with tears. They have a shalach manos ready to give to Hashem. They're wrapping up the shalach manos, and once again there's a knock on the door. And of course, a knock on the door doesn't always mean something good. They know what happened last time they had such a knock on the door. The mother goes and opens the door, and to her surprise, Hashem gives back a shalach manos, because Ilya's father came home. Hakel, Hagodol, Hagiver, Vahanoiro. Hashem holds Himself back. This is the Gevuro from Hashem, the strength from Hashem. But when it's time for Hashem to exact His power, His punishment, when He feels fit, when we are deserving of it, He will bring it out. Tonight what I'd like to do, for the next few minutes, is to discuss patience. Discuss patience, because this is the message that we are being told over here when we say these words, Hakel, Hagodol, Hagir, Hanoiro, that the Anshik Nisag Doyle said, yes, this is the strength of Hashem, this is the awesomeness of Hashem, that Hashem does not just lash out and punish the Goyim. But Hashem is teaching us the message of patience over here. And with this message of patience, we can be successful. As Rav Avigdor Milozatzal said, a person wants to be successful in life, he needs to have menuchas and nefesh. He needs to have yishuv hadas. He needs to have tranquility of the mind. Serenity. And it all comes and starts with patience. What is patience? What is the lack of patience? So, I'm sure I'll give an example which we've all encountered in our lives. It happened to me recently, a few months ago. I was on my way to a bar mitzvah, Sunday afternoon. On the way to the toll booth, usually you go to the toll booth, you have an easy pass, 25 miles an hour, sometimes it's, you know, the fast one's 40 miles an hour. It's very nice. This time, there's a 45 minute wait, standing in front of the toll booth. Just standing there. Sitting there, fine. Not going anywhere. That's the situation where Hashem is saying, patient, be patient. You're not going anywhere. So what happens in a person's mind? What happens in a person's mind? Well, you know, I'm missing this part of the food, the shmorg. I'm missing the shmorg. The first course, oh, I don't know, but what time will I get there? By the time I get there, I'm coming from New York, from Philadelphia to New York, but it's going to be worthless, I'm wasting my whole time. What am I going for? This is a Pliskin, of Zalat Pliskin, Shlita, who is a man that has done so much good for us. In his books and tapes, his Sfarim that he has written, he tells us that the power of imagination is that tool which has to be used properly. Because lack of patience comes from this thought process that a person starts imagining all sorts of kinds of different things that cause him to be impatient. I'm missing the shmorg, I'm missing my friends, my relatives, I'm shouting far away. It so happens, by the time I got there, the main course, the first course was still on the table. When I came in, someone greeted me, he said, "Oh, you're so lucky, you missed so many speeches." That was his take on it. "I've been sitting here for hours," he tells me. I didn't tell him where I was sitting. Patience. Patience is so important for ourselves to be successful in life. Patience is important for us to deal with other people. Patience is important for us to deal with our children. And as we said, that power of imagination is one of those things that cause a person to lose his patience. But as Rapliskin explains, we have to try to gear and tune that power of patience, of imagination, to be used to strengthen our patience. How do we grow with patience? How do we use this midah that Hashem is teaching us in this first bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, that we say three times a day, that we repeat constantly, constantly, constantly? It's obviously a very important midah, very important attribute which we have to work on. So much so that Anshei Knesset HaGdolah deemed it important enough to put in the first bracha Shmoneh Esrei. Rav Simcha Zissel of Kelm, the great master, the great author of Kelm, tells us that when we have patience with certain people, we have to ask ourselves, why are we patient with this person and not with someone else? Sometimes when it comes to little children, so if it's one child one-on-one, you talk to them very softly, with patience. He says, just like we talk to that child with patience, we have to realize that child has a tzelem elokim, an image of Hashem. We have to talk to someone else also with that patience. Who is that someone else? That's someone else who we might not appreciate so much. We might not like so much. But we have to realize that person has the same tzelem elokim. Or the other way around, because when I was thinking of tonight's shiur, when it was time when I was getting the children ready for brushing their teeth and getting ready for bed, and that's the time when the person needs patience. How could I lose my patience tonight? And I said to myself, and here I am speaking about it a few hours later, an hour later. And that's one of the things that Pliskin tells us. That we have to view ourselves on a big screen. and picture ourselves with a smile. And picture different scenarios in life. Easy ones and difficult ones. 3D, digital, whatever type of screen you want, whatever size you want. And see ourselves going through those scenarios, those scenes in our everyday life, and how we are dealing with it in a patient fashion. And when we do this lesson, and we train ourselves in such a way, then when it comes real, when that situation comes up in real life, and it might be speaking to a co-worker, might be speaking to a spouse, might be dealing with a friend, a parent, whatever it might be, or a child, we will, Mitzvah Hashem, have been prepared, because we are exercising ourselves over here with this koyach, this power of imagination. And we are imagining ourselves in that big screen. Whether it's breakfast time, and the children are all screaming for this and that and this and that. And I want to say something. Tuition is expensive. And the school needs the money. This is a situation where a parent has the opportunity to educate his child without costing a penny. Because when the children see the parent acting with patience, in those situations when they're the most difficult, the child, he learns, she learns. And it doesn't cost a penny. And when we do that, we are emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because as we said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being patient. HaKel, HaGodol, HaGibor, VaHanoiro. Anshi Knes HaGdoilo reinstituted. Ayeh Gvur Oysov, said Daniel. Ayeh Noir Oysov. Yirmiyahu asked, where is the Noir? Where is the awesomeness of Hashem? Where is the Gvur of Hashem? But as Rabbi Akiva, at the end of Gemara Makkos, when he was walking with his comrades, and they saw foxes running around in the place where the Kodesh HaKadoshim once stood, and they started to cry, and he laughed. And they said, why are you laughing? And he said, why are you crying? He said, look, how could one not cry? A place where a person wasn't able to live if he wasn't pure. And now you have animals roaming around in that place. Says Rabbi Akiva to his comrades. Says Rabbi Akiva, because the Nevuah, the future, will come true as well. When the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash will come as well. Rabbi Akiva is using that power of imagination. But he knows the truth, because the truth will come as well. He's looking to the future of the good. And it's that powerful, positive mindset that Rabbi Akiva that prepared him for his death. As we all know too well, that Rabbi Akiva was taken out and tortured. And he died with the words Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad on his lips. How is it possible for a person to do that? When the angel saw these 10 martyrs being killed, they asked this question, Hashem, what is this? HaKel, HaGola, HaGibor, VaHanoira. The patience. Hashem is teaching us patience. There is a very, very powerful story. Subtle point, powerful story. The Yeshiva Nei Yisrael in Baltimore. Just down A couple hours down, south. When Rav Ruderman was still alive, Zechet Tzadik Levracha, Yitzchok Ruderman was still alive as the Rashiva there, they would constantly receive a large donation from a certain individual. The interesting point from this donator was that he wasn't religious. In fact, he was the president of the conservative congregation. Year after year, they would get this large donation. And they assumed, why is he giving such a donation? Because he knows someone in the yeshiva. So, he's giving to the yeshiva. Rav Ruderman inquired, who is this acquaintance of this individual? Who does he know in the yeshiva? And he found out it was no one. He doesn't know anyone in the yeshiva. So why is he giving such a nice donation to the yeshiva? He met this individual, the Rishiva Nevi Yisrael met Mr. Bernard Rosenberg, the president of the conservative synagogue, and he asked him this question, why do you give us such a nice donation? Of course he thanked him, but he said, please explain to me. And he told him as follows. Because when I was a little boy of 6 years old, he said, this story goes back now 60 years ago, so we understand how old Mr. Bernard Rosenberg was. I had a certain Rebbe who was so sweet, who was so gentle, who was so polite. He made such an impression on me. This is my way of thanking him, of giving back to an Orthodox Torah observant place, because the impression this Rebbe had on me. This is what Mr. Bernard Rosenberg told the Yeshiva of Nei Yisrael, Rav Ruderman. Very nice, nice story. The story continues. Rav Ruderman told over this story to the current Rishiva of Nei Yisrael, of Feldman, of Aaron Feldman. And he told him, I want to do my research. And he told him, I found out who that Rebbe was. He did his research. And who was this Rebbe? The Rebbe that had such a lasting impression over 60 years later on this man was none other than his own Rebbe, Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel, the Alter of Slobodka. And it is known of the Alter of Slobodka, the Menuchas HaNefesh that he had, the serenity, the tranquility, the patience that he lived with. And this is what this 66-year-old man remembered from this Rebbe he had some decades earlier. This was Rav Ruderman's Rebbe as well, because Rav Ruderman learned in Slobodka. Hakel, Hagodol, Hagibur, Vahanoiro. This is the message of tonight's share. Patience. If a person doesn't have patience, what happens to such a person? As the doctors can tell us, and as Rav Avigdor Miller tells us, as why it's such a fundamental key to have menuchas hanefesh, to have patience, it's not healthy. It's just not healthy. A person, God forbid, become a diabetic. He becomes angry. people around him, they can't deal with him. There was a person going on a plane, had a flight to catch. Waiting for the flight, there are two lines to go on to board on the plane. It so happened that this plane was allowing everybody to board to get on the plane early. Now there were two lines going on to the plane. One on the right, one on the left. The right line was moving much faster than the left line. There was a certain individual on the left line who became very irritated, very angry. And he made it known to the people around him. Why are we moving so slowly? Look at this line on the right. What's going on over here? To which the person witnessing all this, on the same left line, wanted to tell the person, we'll be on the same plane as them. They're not leaving without us. What's your rush? And this person, the whole way through, until the person finally got into their seat, made sure everybody heard him as to hear how impatient he was. Now this individual who was thinking of telling this impatient person a piece of their mind realized he won't listen to me anyway. And better yet, this person realized something else. Perhaps that's what I do as well. Perhaps that's what I look like also. Says Rav Pliskin, when we see people who are impatient, we should try to learn from them. Try to learn and make sure we don't do the same thing. And when we see people who are patient, and I have to tell you, sometimes I have this chus, at times we live right here in Philadelphia, sometimes I'm next to, standing in front of Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, the Rashi of Philadelphia Shlita, or his son Rav Shalom Kamenetsky, or my Rashi Rav Aaron Shechter from Chaim Berlin, or other people of such stature. And I have to tell you, just being around them, you see how they interact with people. The patience they have, the respect they have for every single person. This is what we, when we see this, we have to constantly replay these pictures in our mind again and again. And in Mirtz Hashem, when we continuously do this, and when we pick up this book from Rabbi Pliskin, patience. Imagine me in that traffic jam. You'd probably still be there. And we realize, we say the words, HaKel, HaGodl, HaGibro, HaNoiro, that there is a message that's being sent to us, for the Anshi Nesak Doilo, that we are here to emulate Hashem, to be patient. Emes Hashem, with all this hard work, with Siyad Shemayim from Hashem, we will be successful. We go on to the next couple words. Very important words. Every single word, every single letter is important. After just mentioning different attributes from Hashem, His patience, His greatness, HaKel, HaGodol, HaGibur, HaNoiro, a person might make the mistake. He might make a mistake and think that he has some awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That he can relate to Hashem to some degree with through these attributes. Which is true, but yet he shouldn't lose sight of the truth. What is the ultimate truth? Kel Elyon. That Hashem is above all. We have to realize this. That as much as Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah gives us some way to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through these attributes of Gvura, of Noira, nonetheless, it's Kel Elyon. We cannot come close to understanding Hashem. Hashem is above all. Who first said these words, Kel Elyon? These words were said in Parshas Lech Lecha by Malchut Tzedek. Perik Yedalev Pasuk Yedches or Malchut Tzedek Melech Sholeim Hoitzi Lechem VeYoyin VeHu Koyin VeKel Elyon. Malchut Tzedek, after Avraham Avinu defeats the four kings, Melchizedek thanks Avraham Avinu. Vayivarcheu vayomer baruch Avraham lekel elyon kohen shamayim v'aretz. And he blesses Avraham and he blesses Hashem. Tells us the Gemara in the Darim, Daf Lamed Beis, that Melchizedek was destined to have the kahuna, the kehanim, to come out from him. Would have been your great grandfather. But he lost it. Why did he lose it? Because first he blesses Avraham Avinu, and then he blesses Hashem. Everything starts with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything starts with Hashem. We first bless Hashem, and then we bless people. Because we have to recognize and realize, Kel Elyon, everything comes from Hashem. All the kindness that we get, the supper that we ate tonight, whether we gave, was given to us by who knows who, whoever it was. We have to thank that person, but ultimately go back to the source of it all, and realize who gave it to us. It was given to us by Kel Elyon, by Hashem. And with that understanding, we enter into to next week's Shir Mitz Hashem, Goyimel Chasadim Toivim, that Hashem is the Goyimel Chasadim Toivim, Hashem gives the exact chesed, Hashem knows how to do chesed, and in Mitz Hashem, next week we will discuss this concept of a chesed from Hashem. Thank you.